Blog Talk Radio.
My friends don't walk, they run. Skinny dip and rabbit holes for fun. Popping balloons with guns. Getting high off helium. We paint wild roses red. Each shade drunk, a different person said this dream. Dream is a killer. Getting drunk with a blue caterpillar.
Hello, everyone. How are you today? This is Sweet Pea, and that was, let's see if I can remember
Melanie
that.
Martinez.
Melanie Martinez, thank you. Yes, Melanie Martinez singing the Mad Hatter song. Mad Hatter is a song by Melanie Martinez, featured as the 13th track on her debut album, Cry Baby. This is the final track on the standard version of the album at the end of July 2015. Melanie's father, Jose Martinez, posted a 13-second snippet of the song on August 11, 2015. Melanie posted another snippet of her song. The music video was released on, let's see, September 23, 2007, completing its first debut. It is a wonderful song, and if you get a chance to check out Cry Baby, I would highly suggest you do. It's a great album. I was playing with it this afternoon. I really enjoyed it. Thank you, Hatter, for bringing me my attention to her. She was really great. So that's the Mad Hatter song, which was a lot of fun to play. Welcome to Blog Radio and All Poetry, and inside that is Team of Voices, which I am happy to be a part of. And tonight is Wonderland Quotes with my special guest, Jay Hatter. Everybody say hello to Jay Hatter. to hijack.
Hi, guys. Melanie Martinez, she won like third place in one of the voice, I think it was one of the voice contests.
Oh, she's really good. So we have already on the line, we have Rockin' Tour. Say hello.
I'm late. I'm horribly late.
Horribly late. And then we have Wayne Jett. Say hello, Wayne Jett.
I'm late too.
Are you? Oh, no. Well, if you're late, you brought pregnancy test. And 443, who is this?
Good evening, sweet. It's Allie.
Well, hello, Allie. How are you this evening?
Hi, Allie.
Tired, but how are you?
Good. Okay. We're doing great tonight. All right, so tonight we are also doing Alice in Wonderland Trivia, brought to you by Jay Hatter, the master of Alice in Wonderland. Very excited to get everything started. So the first thing we're going to do, and these are the rules of trivia. Jay Hatter asks the questions. The answer must be on the board. If you shout it out, if you scream it out, if you do whatever, I will not listen. I will not pay attention. I will not give out points. Has to be written on the board in Tima Voices room. If it's not, it doesn't count. Period. End statement. Nothing goes your way. Everybody understand? Of course you do. If you don't, that's your problem, not mine. Rules have been stated. All right. There we go. We're done. All right. So we're going to start off because I get to read the Hatter. It's a nice special night because I've written so many Wonderland poems for him. We all get to hear all the many poems I have. So, not just that, but this is my tribute to Mr. Hatter, as I am his lovely Alice in Wonderland thing. So some of the poems that I have written for Hatter will also be read tonight because he likes them. And we are celebrating his madness. So if you would all turn to our lovely board, we're going to start off with one of his very favorites.
We're going to
start off with Cheshire Smiles and Marigold Eyes. So, Cheshire Smiles and Marigold Eyes by me, Sweet Pea. Mirrors tick-tock backwards and false hands are forward in time. Caterpillar hookahs colored smoke and in inchworm neon green. Covers the scenes of the freckling flutterby's dying screams. A madman in hats watched the girl Alice fight the Red Queen. Quick-witted and brave, she bobbed and weaved, sparing her head from bobbing along in the bloodstream. Lost in Wonderland, she wandered on cobalt blue stones. Under marigold skies and honeydew clouds, the Mad Hatter, a ghost by her side, watching her cry. In the land of snow and fire, the trees took her by surprise. Vines entwined through her skin, and Alice puppet did rise. Spryly into darkness, she saw a cat on a trapeze smile. Alice smelled tea, yawned, and thought, my, what a dream. But the Mad Hatter grabbed her hand and showed her his cottage. He said, eat proudly. Proudly of his spread, a banquet for a goddess. White apron stained in mud and blood, Alice felt scorn, but she began to relax in the company of the Hatter, sipping on tea and listening to his chatter. Nothing did matter. Eyelids grew heavy and the sand meant to pour his powdery sweet potion onto the floor when the black cat with a wicked grin jumped from the air and with his marigold eyes started to there. Hatter ran his fingers through her silk strands of hair. He whispered a secret into her ear. Alice smiled and looked back at the black cat, knowing why Wonder was named by a madman in all of his hats and poems. There you go. Now, why Wonder was named by a man in all of his hats. Because only the cat knows.
At the beginning, I thought you killed me off. And I'm, whoa.
No. I never kill off a hatter. That's not my job. That's Wayne's job.
I thought it was the Red Queen's job.
Well, the Red Queen was trying to kill me, but Hatter took me in, and then the cat whispered in my ear, "Why Wonder was named by a madman, and all of this happened." But I can't tell. So, let's start our night. Isn't it fun? So
Madman
was
many.
Yes. Anybody?
Trivia time, Hatter. Come on, man.
Hello? I'm sorry. I'm asking a question. What? Shit. I'm sorry.
No,
yes,
you're
Hatter. What's our first question? Hatter, what's our first question for the night?
Okay, we're gonna start easy. What was Alice's cat's name? And do we need multi choice here? Or does everybody know? I'll give you multi choice. A, Cheshire.
Okay.
B, Bourbon. 3, Muffin. Or 4, hold on. I'm sorry. A, Cheshire. B, Bourbon. C, Muffin. Or D, I can't read my own mind right. Dinah.
I know.
Type it on the board,
Alex. Now we're talking in the book.
Type it on the board.
Type it on the board, Allie.
Wayne's got it. Wayne has won. Am I not correct? Da-da-da-da-da-da.
I forgot their name. D.
D.
D, Dinah.
That is correct.
Dinah was it. Yeah.
Right. Wayne has won 50 points.
All right. We'll try a quick another one. What animal was used as the croquet balls in the Queen of Hearts court? Is it A, hedgehogs, B, squirrels, C, cats, or D, dogs?
Oh, you should have threw a pink flamingo in there just to screw people up.
Wayne says A, hedgehogs.
Wayne got it again.
Yeah, Wayne knows his Wonderland.
Those are the easy ones. We're gonna start getting rougher. So. All right, one more. In Alice's Wonderland, where will cats and rabbits live? In her house, in tea parties, in fancy houses, or in flower gardens? That's in her house, tea parties, in fancy houses, and or flower gardens. I see Wayne's not tea parties, not flower gardens.
Keep guessing.
Is that going to be her house or fancy houses? It's a Wayne's house. No. Not Wayne's house.
Not a Wayne's house.
Team of voices.
See, all at once, fancy houses, Allie.
How you won?
And it'll get a little rougher as we go, a little tougher. Now, you got to remember, there was Alice in Wonderland, and then there was Alice Through the Looking Glass. And there's quite a difference between the two.
Yeah. Allie, you win 50 points. So let's put her, we'll put her poem on the board.
And the crowd goes wild.
Yay! All right. Let's go to Allie, 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 Allie.
Sally, Allie, oxen free.
La, la. And there we go. Allie, you're up. Go ahead and read your poem.
I'm under the obligation to make sense to you. So let me explain as best as I can. To me, hugs are safety and love and kindness. Hugs, however, to me, also help decrease my fears. What fear, you may be wondering. Let me explain. I'm happy to do so. I have a fear of abandonment. I fear it will happen to everyone I like on here, as well as in real life. Now, since I am under the obligation to make sense to you, I also want to highlight two other things. I am autistic. I think differently than others. Sometimes I think so literally. Poems seem real to me. With autism comes two things, sensory issues and meltdown. Sensory issues are horrible. Some nights I can't sleep with blankets on. If I do, I'll melt down. My meltdowns may seem spooky, but I don't mean to speak to you. Honestly, meltdowns are much scarier for me than they are for the observer. I want you to know. And that has happened to me, so please be gentle and understanding to the best of your ability. I leave the reader, or in your case the listener, with one question. Does being autistic and having the fears that I have hold me back? Or rather, do I try so hard to educate others? The end.
Very nicely written. I think all those questions are something that you have to answer for yourself. I think everyone has fear about who they are and what they have. And I think that we always try to educate people about who we are. Autism is a very real thing. I have a grandson with autism. He has to work his way through it and has to help people understand him. But I have anxiety and I have to work through that myself and my fear of it and what I live with, and I have to educate people around me. So I think those are questions we have to ask ourselves and have to do for others. I love your poem. I think it works very well.
Thank you.
You know, that's something that you have to figure out, but I really like the way you presented it here. And you know what? No one's under any obligation to have to answer to anyone else. I mean, we have to be polite and we have to follow the laws and rules of our land, but we don't have to make sense to anybody. At least, thank God I don't have to, because I would scare people on a daily basis if I had to make sense to them. Well written. I really like it. And back into your thoughts.
Yes, you scare people on a daily basis. there's two thoughts that come to mind. One of them is a little sarcastic, but, you know, it's just kind of my sense of humor. You know, sometimes, you know, you got to say, you know, who the hell are you that I need to explain myself? But, you know, if it is that if you do decide to, you know, but like Sweet was saying, you know, it requires your own introspection and knowing yourself. And sometimes you don't know when you find out over time, you know, and one of the hardest lessons to learn, you know, I learned it as, you know, no is an answer. It may not be the one you want to hear, but, you know, I don't know is also an answer. And, you know, again, it may not be the answer they want to hear, but, you know, it may be the only one that you have. And sometimes, you know, depending on the situation, that's where you're at. So it's a difficult and introspective, very philosophical question. And it's a deep piece. Nicely done, Allie.
Thank you.
And Adder?
Yeah, it's a difficult question to ask. It really is. It can't be like in today's environment, everybody's about the bullying, and that's a true and real thing, and it's a terrible thing to have to go through when you're that young and confused and not knowing, trying to decide where you are in this world. But to answer that, you'd have to have a direct link to autism, whether you know somebody, you've met somebody, or you dealt with people with autism. There's no right or wrong. It's you have to give time. After you identify something as a bullying, for example, you need time for it to change. If you don't, it's not a fair question. Autism is a confusing thing to have to run across if you've never had dealt with it before. My story is about Matthew. I've written about Matthew in one of my stories, an autistic boy that I ran across and learned a lot from. So it's a fair question, but then again, if the person's not aware, it's not a fair question to ask, if that makes sense. I meant that with all respect.
It makes sense.
Yeah, because boundaries are on both sides of that.
It makes sense, and, like, I really appreciate the fact that, like, you brought up bullying, because a lot of times I think to myself, I'm like, well, like, what if this is happening? But because I'm autistic, I think it's this, but other people, you know, they might not view it as, what's the word, as, like,
yeah,
intense as I do, if that makes sense.
Well, it's your struggle, so nobody else is going to look at it the same way, you know, that nobody can understand it. When they teach customer service people to relate to you by saying, I can understand, I scream at them sometimes, like, no, you can't understand unless you're the same way. Are you autistic? Then shut up. You don't understand. This is what I'm dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not a fair thing to put on someone.
Yeah.
Or I could call him
out. Wayne, your thoughts.
Yes, I wrote a comment. I said, you should do whatever you're drawn to do. Just move forward in the life with honesty and desire. Great, you had a great testament here. Don't think much of what other people think. That should have any influence on what you do. You know, it matters. It's just what you do is what matters. Just do what you think you should do and do it with desire, in my opinion.
Thank you.
I agree. All right. Let's keep this happiness moving.
With trivia.
Hatter.
All right.
Nope, with
all
Hatter.
Right.
Hatter.
Yeah. All right.
Hatter.
What?
I want an Alice in Wonderland poem from you. So you need to find one.
Poem.
A poem.
Okay, I can do that.
I got one.
I know you do. And while you're fighting one, I'm going to put Wayne up. Because Wayne's got a poem.
I don't know about that. Yeah, well, I want the same topic as that. My topic is my theme was the same as the last one, because I am under no obligation to make sense to you. This is called.
I love that.
Great Goose to Wonderland. Goes like this.
Hold on, I got to put it on the board. Hold on.
Oh, hey, what do you have? I did my copy.
Okay.
Hold on.
I know you are. I got to put it on the board there, Slick.
I didn't know you went on the board.
I am. Okay, now you're on the board, babe. Go.
Okay. The theme of this one is the quote, I am under no obligation to make sense to you. And it's called Kurt Goes to Wonderland. Once was a lad who left for a trip, swallowed a pill and said, let it rip. Trip was more than he could stand. He ended up in Alice's Wonderland. He met Alice after a while. He fell in love with her smile. White Rabbit went to get Mad Hatter. The more they talked, the more they got madder. When he returned, he was physically drained. He said, I'll be damned. I'm Kurt Cobain. Then jumped up and ran out in the rain. Folks who thought he was insane. Then he realized what he had hurt. He was consumed by team spirit. Moved across to the lake of fire. Don't worry, come as you are. All apologies. This is about a girl. Alice came out of the hole to be in this world. Kurt gave Kurt 2 tickets to Wonderland, swallowed the first and off they ran. Kurt asked, where did you sleep last night? She said, go to Wonderville and take a right. Alice was great. She liked to flirt. Problem was, he wasn't with Kurt. Kurt said he was leaving. That was dumb. That ticket hat was full of lithium. Alice ran, gave Kurt a kiss. Kurt paid off into the mist.
Yeah. I love that you combine this with using Kay's Kurt Cobain show. This is fabulous. It's well written. It's funny as hell. And I applaud you for doing it this way. Killing two birds with one stone. And the fact it works so well, because Kurt Cobain and Alice in Wonderland is like the perfect pairing. It's the perfect marriage. I mean, it works so well. I can just see it happening. I can see Cobain taking a pill, and all of a sudden he's in Wonderland with Alice and going a little mad. This is just perfect. I love the rhyme. I love the, I'll be damned, I'm Kurt Cobain, then jumped up, ran out in the rain. Most people thought he was insane. Yeah, uh-huh. And then Alice liked to flirt, but it wasn't quite Kurt. That's just great. Oh, the ticket was full of lithium.
There's 9 of his songs are in the winner. 9 of his songs are worked into the poem.
I know. It's all about the girl. Where'd you sleep last night?
Yeah.
Team Spirit.
Really good. Spirit.
Yeah.
Perfect for it.
So had.
Come as you are, Lake of Fire.
Yeah.
That ticket was full of lithium.
What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, ticket for lithium.
That ticket was full of lithium. Oh, man.
Okay, Hank.
It wasn't with Kurt. Like the flirt wasn't with Kurt. This is. That's Kurt Fade's way. This is great. I was smiling through the whole thing.
It's different.
I'm Kurt Cobain.
Oh.
It does. It works. It's so crazy. It works. Alice in Grunge.
Alice in the Mosh Pit.
Alice in Rap.
I love that you have energy going like that. I just do. I love this. My darling, Bracken Tour, your thoughts.
I thought this was brilliant, Wayne. A classic, beautiful humor. I love it when the song titles work themselves out to be able to be worded to the song and kind of almost writes itself sometimes. I did that with an Elvis tribute. You know, a lot of the song titles just lent themselves to lyrics, to the verse rather, and I was able to piece together, you know, some nice stuff. So you did a great job with that, just off the cuff. But the whole idea of it, you know, that, you know, I'm under no obligation to make sense to you. That's kind of the idea of it. Well, I shouldn't say the idea, but that's, I guess, the effect of a trip. It only makes sense to the person on that trip. So, you know, and, you know, he was kind of trippy. The play on his name being Kurt, but the whole thing was really great. It was really great. I could just see him trying to grind up the White Rabbit and snort him. It was fantastic.
All right, Allie, I know
you didn't go to bed, so
say goodnight to everybody.
I was going to say, I'm fixing to fall asleep, but I am going to be completely honest and say I tried my best to follow along with that poem, and my processing speed is so low right now because I am exhausted from not sleeping last night that I could not follow along, but I enjoyed hearing everyone's laughter about it, so.
You weren't supposed to follow
problem.
Along. It says he's under no obligation to make sense.
I'm not making sense.
All right, honey,
you
go to sleep, get some rest tonight.
Be tight.
I will try my best.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
We're off to see the wizard.
All right.
Ah,
God, that was great. I really enjoyed it. All right, let's see. All right, what do you got for me, Hatter? Oh, did you? Excellent.
Yeah, it's the trilogy.
The trilogy.
Oh, no.
Why don't you throw it up there? There it is. Are you going to read it?
Sure, I'll read it.
All right.
The Hatter's Mad.
Go for it.
The Hatter's Mad. This is all three. Goes like
okay.
this. Everybody got it? In the shaded corner of the mushroom meadow, there's a matter of undeviated happenstance. Invitation sent out to celebrate a day of extraordinary circumstance. Mushrooms are served, baked in the sun while wearing an oversized hat, speaking on nonsensical riddles and rhymes and the warnings of a Cheshire cat. The rabbit is running a hairline trail for Alice and the Mad Hatter's sake, stuffed in her pocket the Firefly Queen for the candles on the Mad Hatter's cake. Sitting on toadstools with caterpillar backs, knowing the Hatter's insane, fluttered by toast and buttercups filled with psychedelic mushroom champagne. Will you stay, please, sweet Alice, for tea? Could I please refill your cup? I think you'll agree you're as mad as me. How else could you think me up? Alice, come round, we'll steal the queen's crown. That's what Cheshire said. If Alice he sees just as she pleases, for sure it's off with her head. By carriage or boat, we'll take a vote. Now there's a soap in my hair. For those that need tea, just pass cups to me for the trip we're about to share. Why are you always too tall or too small? And that's a matter of fact. By carriage or boat, we'll take a vote. We'll travel by Mad Hatter's hat. The ten holds a club that won't let us in while the queen's playing croquet. The king was afraid his chess piece delayed because the queen just hacked off his head. Alice is thinking while the red knight is seeking to nab her against her will. Unicorns and lions together are trying to bury that king on the hill. Horse flies and gourds and sticks for swords while riding a kangaroo rat. Defend the Hatter is what matters, armed with a vampire bat. Alice has learned by a flutterby worm. Mushrooms will change her size. Flamingos will swing at hedgehogs to bring those wickets to score they will try. The Red King is snoring. Flamingos are scoring. The Red Queen yells off with her head. Alice keeps quiet. The mushroom she'll try it remembers what the flutterby said. She nibbles a bit and then leans back to sit. The Alice starts to grow. She begins to feel against her will. The ceiling is now too low. She frightens the king and tells the queen she no longer wishes to play, for Alice is now too big somehow, and no one will get in her way.
Oh, wow. This is just freaking fabulous, Mad Hatter. God, I love this. I've never seen this or read this or any of that. I've never heard you read this. I've never heard any of it. It's my first. I'm virginal to this. It's sunny.
Virginal.
I love it.
Really? This is the first three The Hatter's Mad. It's actually the first three poems in sequence.
It's just stunning.
Thank you.
I love it. fucking tour.
Oh yeah, it's I really enjoy this. You know, one of the things about what goes on with the not really the experimentation. It's just the whole process. It's a little mad. it's an enjoyable journey. It's whimsical. It was fun. It was fun. My mind is getting addled now.
Thank you, Rick.
I think I had mushrooms.
Yep. Lots of mushrooms. And Wayne, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is a great ride. I've taken mushroom tea before, and Alice in Wonderland was a great place to visit. The rhyme is in this is special, the greatest great storyline. The read is this is original script. It's almost too perfect. It's just too little to be real. Great job, this Hatter. That's the best poem I ever heard you write and read. Wonderful.
Thank you, Wayne.
That is just beautiful. Yeah, stunning. Stunning. I really did enjoy it. All right, let's see. I am going to put in this one. Dum-dee-dum-dum. We all love her, so. Copy. Groups. Two voices. Put her in here. One for you. Sent by a special person. Let's get this on. And are you ready, Hatter? Because she wrote this for your day. And here she comes. Uh-huh. Everybody ready to listen to Pretty Bird?
She wore a hat into the woods and lost her mind. By Pretty Bird. I remember what innocence looked like. Through the looking glass that no longer cradles innocence in its grasp. Curiosity stole my frame of mind. In a forest of decadence, cake and wine dance with magic mushrooms. Logic lost in a hall of doorways where kitty cats float in pieces, leaving nothing but a smile on the wind. Big dreams flap small minds across the field in pink flamingo hookah smoke where it's ever tea time and I always miss the party. Home near the water on a sunny day with daydream nightmares where nothing ever happens but rain. There is no wine or cake in this place to make me larger than life, and only your words make me feel small. High feels too low in utopia, so I search for the underground forest with a pocket full of mushrooms. Finding naught but my shadow, I wait. In darkness, color leaches from my skin and stains my hair with my pain. I heard children once. They ran as I stared in wonder, needing to be fixed like them. She's mad, they screamed in the distance, still laughing at nothing, at everything. It's all that's left of this place, dancing with white rabbits. Where there's enough cake to party for every unbirthday.
Wow. If that does not make you just go, holy, oh, other words, I don't know what will. That is an amazing and beautiful, and just makes me, every time I listen to it, gives me the chills. There's no wine or cake in this place to make me larger than life, and only your words make me feel small. She's mad they scream in the distance, still laughing at nothing, at everything. And my Mad Hatter, I leave it to you to comment.
Man, this is, like you said, it hits on the dark, the darkness there. The recording was tough to follow. There was just a little volume issue on my end, anyway.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I heard
the music
children,
was louder than her voice.
Yeah, I heard children once. They ran as I stared in wonder. Needed to be fixed like them. That's a dark sentence there. Wow. So much in this. I was struggling to follow along. I need to read it again. Man.
Well, you go ahead and read it. I will talk to Wayne. Wayne, your thoughts.
Well, this poem gave me a buzz. With all the mushrooms and the hookah smoke, is a wonderful read and a fairy-like presentation. I think Alice will be happy tonight hearing these poems. Great job, Bird, Pretty Bird. Liked it.
Yeah.
For rock and tour.
Yeah, the line that you called out about making her feel the words making me feel small, that really hit home. I mean, the whole thing was gorgeous, but that in particular was you know, chilling. You know, she's got a way of grabbing your emotions and focusing on that thought in a way that just really is so relatable. If you've ever been anywhere near what she's talking about, you feel it, and you feel it again and again. And yeah, she's got a wonderful way of bringing it forward and just making you relive it. It's beautiful.
I do not disagree. I just absolutely love that. Love that poem. All right. We're going to lighten things up a little bit there after Pretty Bird. And we're going to read another Hatter poem to Hatter, another Alice in Wonderland poem to Mr. Hatter. And this is a tribute poem to Jay Hatter. Take My Hand to Wonderland. A tribute poem to Jay Hatter. Tick-tock sang the clock, or excuse me, tick-tock sang the pocket watch on the white bunny. Wild child woman screaming out of time, minus rhyme followed the rabbit's hoppity-hoppity-hop down a path through a tree, rolling past the formalities of sonnets and AABB schemes. Characters in hookah dreams, smiling cats, queen of hearts, dormouse, fields of turquoise flowers bloom around picnic tables. The maddest men, wearing a plethora of hats full of wisdom, sat around speaking in perfect rhyme. Conversations debated around the moon, heartbreaks, and decades of music, and a wild sweet pea stood silent. A Mad Hatter whispered with his eyes, "Come get to know me, sweet potato pie." And at that moment, a wild woman was blessed. Tender is his laugh with me. And he kept smiling. He kept me smiling when I wasn't sure of my next heartbeat. Courage and strength are in the words he speaks and in the words he inks. A dog named Lou watches over him and lives in my Amadeus. Hatter loves to feed his favorite one-horned goat named Joe. Keeps him furry and fat for the Christmas show. In white and black he draws, but in vivid colors he dreams. Sweet potato pie and the maddest of hatters, with giggles and teardrops we have walked in the paths of Wonderland, held hands, talked to talk with friends, and tried to solve the problems of man. Never forget my maddest of hatters. If you feel alone, reach for my hand. I'm always here for you in Wonderland. And home.
Maybe cry.
Part of my Wonderland collection.
Yeah, it's funny. Okay, I just listened to the Christmas show, One Horned Goat Named Joe.
I did, just last night.
Oh, really? That is the oddest.
Yeah, a smile just like a full time.
That's good.
I know. It's a great, great poem. The only poem I ever sing is the One Horned Goat Named Joe. A great song there, Rack and Tour.
Thank you.
All right. All right, trivia time.
All right. Okay, what animal? This is in the Alice Through the Looking Glass. What animal sweeps up?
Okay.
What is the what animal sweeps up the path Alice follows follows through the forest through Wonderland? What animal sweeps up the path behind Alice through Wonderland? A bird,
an elephant.
B a horse, C a dog, or D a duck?
It's only me and you, Rack, so we got to guess.
It's got to be a duck.
I was going to say a duck, too.
The answer is a dog. It's a dog with a face.
A dog.
A dog and his tail sweeping up the path right behind as Alice. That causes her to get lost.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Dogs are usually more helpful.
All right, next one.
What does the white queen give Alice to help her get home? A, her handkerchief. B, the blood of the dead champion. C, a piece of the dead champion's tongue. Or D, a jewel from her crown. And the dead champion is the Jabberwocky.
Right. The white handkerchief.
Let me go over it. Her handkerchief, the blood of the dead champion, piece of the dead champion's tongue, or a jewel from her crown?
What do you think?
I'm guessing the jewel from the crown.
I'm going to say the handkerchief.
Both good
and
guesses.
And the answer is?
Wrong. The blood of the champion. The queen gathers up blood from the
Jabberwocky.
From the mouth of the Jabberwocky after the battle with Alice.
Really? That's kind of dark. Like, he was kind of a dark writer.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Alice Through the Looking Glass continues the storyline that Dodson is writing Alice. Each time it got republished, the story that went on. That's how the whole thing started. Was Alice being infatuated with Charles Dodson as a friend, and demanded a story every time they would get together, and Dodson, Lewis Carroll, would continue the story chapter by chapter. When they were no longer allowed to hang with each other, Charles Dodson or Lewis Carroll decided to publish them chapter by chapter, and that led to all the other characters like Humpty Dumpty, the Lion King, the Walrus, Twiddledy Twiddledum.
That still amazes me.
Twiddledy Twiddledum. Yeah, they should be there in the first one, yeah. But all the other characters come into the second, and they were published chapter by chapter as Alice grew older in real life.
That's really cool to me that, like, Humpty Dumpty and all them are in the second book, and a lot of people don't realize that all these characters came from Alice in Wonderland stories, which I think is amazing. You know, I think that's just really something special. You know, I think that's pretty fabulous.
Yeah.
Hatter, are you ready to read someone else's poems? Do you think you could do that?
I could certainly try.
Okay.
One other question. What kind of battlefield did the red and what kind of battlefield did the red and white armies set upon? Was it a cricket field, a croquet field, a checkerboard, or a card table?
Checkerboard.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Which one?
Pretty sure it was a checkerboard.
Checkerboard.
A checkerboard is correct. Army checkerboard.
All right. All right, so the one, if you can, is Going Back by Lockdown Lars.
I'm sorry, what?
The one on the board, Going Down by Lockdown Lars.
Okay. Redbird. My hand, Going Back Down. All right, Going Back. Just like this. Knock, knock, who could that be? Just a second, you'd look just like me. Why are you dressed in black? It's your time, no going back. But I still have a life to live, people to meet, share and give. Sorry, but with emboli gathering, soon you'll have nothing left to sing. But all dreams into one more breath. Now another. I must cheat Dr. Death. Wake up, your diagnosis is in. Your blood, we are going to thin. Dare I sleep and check the door. Sun is shining, darkness no more. As your shadow disappears, I hear you say, not your time this time, but we'll meet again one day.
Wow.
You want to read the YN?
Yeah, emboli is a pleural embolus, which is generally blood clots, pulmonary when in the lungs. This is a 1995 event. Haven't caught up with repeat 2008 yet. I also won the lottery in 1999. 3 months ago. You know, I got to tell you, those blood clots are not anything to laugh about. My husband had one about 7 months ago. Scared the hell out of us. He woke up and his leg was literally the size of a log. And now he's on blood thinners his whole life. So, yeah, it was very scary.
He won the lottery. He won the lottery.
Yeah. No, that's pretty amazing. Wow. Wow. Pretty amazing.
That's excellent.
And he's cheating Dr. Death. That's awesome. Way to be. This is how life is. Thank you for bringing that to the show because, you know, don't go back. I'd stay where I was at, too. Cheating Dr. Death. Cheating death and living the best life yet. Raconteur, your thoughts.
Okay. Oh, I'm confuzzled. I'm starting to lose it.
We I'm not allowed to lose anything.
I thought that was the topic.
Oh.
My brain said embrace it.
Okay. All right, maybe you'll have to lose it a little bit. But not much. Oh, good God. You know, I'm having a really bad time with my shoulder. Oh, I don't want to go see a doctor either about it, so we're not going to.
You can marinate it overnight, so and you then guys you can cook it the next day. It'll be nice and tender.
Oh,
maybe. It's been going on. Yeah. Yes, my darling.
I found a list of things you didn't know about Alice. Let's see how many we knew already.
Okay, let's see what we know.
In 1865, Lewis Carroll self-published his manuscript of Alice Adventures in Wonderland to celebrate the 150th birthday. We've gone down the rabbit hole to find some facts about the beloved classic. Alice was a real girl. We knew that. Yeah. Well, Alice Liddell was Lewis Carroll's boss. Henry Liddell, he was the dean of the Christ Church College at Oxford, where Carroll taught mathematics. Okay, number two, her siblings inspired the story, too.
Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
I guess the whole family.
Her mother was the Red Queen.
He wrote in the entire family. Let's see, friendship with Henry Liddell, his wife Lorinda, and the entire family. He took this photograph of Alice, Ina, Harry, and Edith Liddell in the summer of 1860, the little sisters in the Dormouse story, Elsie and Lacey and Tilly, are references to their three daughters, Lorena. Lorena Charlotte's initials became Elsie. Lacey is an anagram of Alice, and Tilly was short for Matilda, a nickname given to Edith. Okay. Number three, it was almost Alice in Elfland. There was a number of titles that were listed as possibilities before Alice in Wonderland was created or decided on.
In Talking to Sky, I knew that.
Get down. Four, Lewis Carroll never would have written them down. On a boating trip up the Thames in the summer of 1862, Carroll spun a fantastic tale for Alice Liddell and her sisters. But after that, the kids pestered him to retell the story. Carroll even wrote in his diary about telling the interminable Alice's adventures, so he eventually wrote the story down to give it to Alice for Christmas, 1864. The original was half as long as the version later published and didn't include scenes like the Mad Hatter or the Cheshire Cat. Carroll based the Dodo Bird on himself. I had read that before.
I did not know that.
The legend in the book, Carrie alludes to the pivotal boat trip by putting his participants into a story as Bird. He was the Dodo, named after his real last name, Dodson. And the author also documented tendency to stammer, and the story is that the would-be himself as a Dodo Dodson. They sort of making fun of himself in it. Carol saw things the way Alice did. Yeah, these are sort of some. Let's see. Okay, this does explain. In addition to partial deafness and other health complications, Carol suffered from a rare neurological disorder that causes hallucinations and makes objects appear larger or smaller than they are. The disease wasn't discovered until 1955 by English psychiatrist John Todd. Eventually, it was named Alice in Wonderland Syndrome or Todd's Syndrome. So So Charles Dodson or Lewis Carroll was a little different. And in those times, medical procedures were not, it seemed barbaric at times, totally understood, which gave Carroll a bad reputation that was never, he was never charged or accused of anything other than having a relationship with a young child. And it wasn't just one child, it was his boss's kids. So I think he got a bad rap.
He was a storyteller.
Yeah.
That's all he was.
They just thought it was, yeah. And back in those days, the church ran the university that his boss was the head of, and in which he taught, it seemed like a very inappropriate friendship is what they was told to his boss, and his boss ended the relationship between the two. So,
right. We knew
Lewis Carroll was not his real name.
Right.
It says that Carol, thank Carol for phrases like Mad as the Hatter. Okay. It's all about the mercury used for the top hat, to get stiffness in the top hat to cause the hatters to go crazy. Date. Other notables, Twiddledee and Twiddledum, Cheshire Cat's Grin, Down the Rabbit Hole, and I'm late for a very important date. All are quotes that are very well known for Alice in Wonderland. And Queen Victoria was a fan. Number 12, last. Queen Victoria was a fan of the story. So there.
Wow. There you go. Off with his head. Take his head off.
Well, they were banned.
There it goes.
Check this out. I did not know this.
The book was
They've
banned?
They've been banned before. Yeah, Alice in Wonderland and the sequel, Through the Looking Glass, and what Alice found there were both banned in China in 1931. Why? On the grounds that animals should not use human language. Wow.
Okay.
And the book, the last one, the book has never been out of print. Hooray.
Well, that's cool.
That's cool.
Ever?
It's never been out of print.
Well, that's always cool.
They're always sold out, the new publishings. Wow.
I wonder if that's still true.
That was, let's see.
I would say it's probably true.
2015, that was written. I'm assuming it's still true.
I would think so.
I almost want to say it's hard to say because of, the internet and everything else. And the retelling of things and media and everything else, I mean, the story's so well told. They watch, there's movies and everything else. The printed media is becoming outdated.
I wonder what they're still in print, though.
Yeah. But doesn't that mean they're printing new copies?
I don't know. I wonder what it
means. If you were a book publisher, would you buy a copy of Tom Sawyer and Alice in Wonderland and things like that? I don't know. Because then you would assume that you were going to sell it. So, it's the whole supply and demand thing, When it's, I don't know. With all the new – I shouldn't even say with all the – book coming out because I'm not familiar with the industry, but it's an interesting thought. That's an interesting thought.
I would suggest to think that it meant that it was always being sold. There was always a market for it. It always, depending on what decade, probably depends on what how familiar it was or appreciated. It's like let's take Mark Twain. You could probably say that Huck Finn and Tom Sawyer have been out of print for a while, maybe because of some of the terms used in the book.
Yep.
That's a guess by my side, but to always be in print would be always, there's a market for it, always being sold.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see.
Do you have just as a bit of trivia, a first edition Alice in Wonderland, what it would be worth today?
That's a good question.
Only knows.
Well, yeah, that's why I'm asking. He can Google it real quick.
Of the 1860, you mean that?
Yeah.
I'm going to ask the magic box.
Yeah.
Here's a first edition. Wow.
I'm waiting for the ubiquitous, it's priceless.
Between $2 and $3 million.
I'm sure it is.
Between $2 and $3 million.
Oh, that's modest. That's not bad. That's just a nice one.
The original copy of Alice's Adventures in Wonderland that survived in waste paper fate is estimated to be worth a pricely sum of 2016 between $2 and $3 million. In Christie's view, Christie's auction, book up to auction in June.
It never goes away. No, I don't know.
That's a lot of
cool beans.
Yeah.
What
somebody found it. Somebody.
One, will you, Hatter?
What's that?
Order me one, will
you? Down one? Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Get in there.
Oh,
so there's only 22 other copies. There's only 22 other copies known of the first version of the book is still known to exist.
I imagine that qualifies as a rare book.
Yeah, I think it would. There go my eyes.
Where are you going? Well, we knew all that. All right, we have another poem by Bewitched. Called The Clock. You guys ready?
Oh, let me get back there.
Tick-tock.
Back to the board.
Back to the board.
Where's Deb? Where's Deborah?
I don't know.
She's smoking.
My last poem of the night. My last poem of the night. We might end this early. Got no more poems. It's just us three.
She's smoking a hooker with a caterpillar.
I don't know where she is.
The clock?
She's even writing. Yeah, the clock. Here we go. Tick tock.
Got it.
Tick tock. First one tick and then a tock. Whenever will this stop? Tick tock goes the magic clock over and over, louder and louder. Tick tock, tick tock. It's ticking and ticking, talking and talking. It's ticking, it's tock and talking, it's tick. Will the deafening madness ever stop? Will the clock ever stop its constant tick, its constant tock? Hands so still, but still the shrill. Tick-tock, tick-tick, tock-tick, tock-tock. The ticking and talking is damn loud, clocking. Tick-tock, tick. I like it.
Yeah, it reminds me, up on the farm, I slept out in the great room, and we had the grandfather clock out there. And it was loud. It was click, click, click. And then every 30 minutes, they'd give you a dong, and then you know what hour it was. And every summer when I first would be taken up there, it was bothersome. It was loud. It was annoying. But by the end of the summer, I couldn't sleep without it.
Yeah.
I could get that tick, tick, tock, tock. Uh-huh. God.
I really like that.
I like it.
Yeah, me too. I really do.
Loud clocking. It's not telling time, it's clocking.
It's really great. Yeah,
it's interesting what your mind latches into in the I won't say silence, like the veritable silence, you know, when everything is still and then you hear that noise and it's a constant noise. Sometimes it fades into the background and you don't notice it, and sometimes mind just focuses in on it and like a laser beam and you can't not hear it. And then like Hatter said, you miss it when it's not there.
Well, up on the farm, too, if you were not tired enough to have ignore it, to fall asleep with that, then you didn't work very hard that day. So there's a happy medium there.
Oh.
Yeah. Nice. Be with spirit. Nice.
It's very nice.
TikTok.
Very, very nice.
TikTok. It almost reads like a Dr. Seuss book.
Yeah.
It made me think of the Telltale Heart.
Yeah. That's the story I wanted Frank to read.
Oh, he would love to read that sequel, I'm sure.
Well, yeah. That's what I hear it. That's what I hear him read. That's so hard.
I have a TikTok spot home.
Does it chime on the hour?
No, it doesn't, but it just reminded me of my TikTok poem.
Oh.
It's a Hatter poem, of course. It's Tock, Tick, Clocks. Tock, Tick, Clocks. All right. Tick, Tock, Clocks have no hands to keep on Hatters on birthday day. Tick, Tock, Tick, Timekeeper magic tricks. Clock hands keep time defined. Shadows dance and the sands flowing into broken olive glass. As gray skies greeted Hatter's anti-birthday surprise party bash. Hatter listened to the whispers from the underground in Wonderland. Hearing keys unlock bolts opening closed doors to all things banned. Balloons of blue, yellow, red, and orange fly to skies. Birthday hats and torch candles, another year says goodbye. Madder than the maddest of hatters, he slipped from his slippers and jumped in his pajamas and threw on his pants and sneakers. Traveled by car, plane, train, sank in a ship, had to avoid the barracuda. Hatter broke the chains of time with a caterpillar and a hookah. In an endless tunnel of greenery, Hatter calmed the machinery. Along with Father Time, he begged him to stop the machinery. On the tracks of Tick Time, the gentlemen talked psychology, bickering, giggling, sipping wine, spilling their ideologies. Smells of whiskey and lavender swam in Hatter's dreams. Alice to wish for her sweet face would be extreme. Painting walls that surround me with the brush of forgotten times, he wept before he heard her sweet voice say, "My matters of Hatter's tick-tock clocks tell no time. I'm here in Wonderland in your dreams and in your rhyme. Happy unbirthday day, I love you with a kiss or two." Her sweetness vanished in tick-tock time. Happy birthday, J. Hatter.
Oh, my birthday.
Uh-huh.
Painting walls that surround me
with a brush. Brush of forgotten time. Mm-hmm.
My heart aches and colors.
So that's out of... Now, there's three poems that are in there of yours. Traveling with You by J. Hatter, The Dreams of the Hourglass.
Wow.
Well, only Hatter can tell time on a clock with no hand.
What?
Actually, that's not true. What about the digital clock?
That's true.
Aha! Aha!
Aha!
You are undone.
You have been undone, Hatter.
I'm undone.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
You remember that clock? Remember that clock that was 2, 4, 6, 8 pieces? Each piece was half a number, and the number would flip.
Oh.
Each piece was a half a number?
No.
Each piece... If you take the numbers and you cut them in half, and what would happen was it was like flip cards, but half of the number was on the thing, so it would kind of click, 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 click. It was very, it was before the digital displays, really. It was just like a lame version of a digital display. I guess I'm going back way too far. I thought everyone had seen this clock that I'm talking about. It was popular back in the day. There's actually an app on Android called Retro Clock that simulates it. The numbers look like it. It gave the illusion of like the number changing. Well, I mean, the number did change because it flipped in half, but, you know, it was just a weird kind of situation.
I don't remember it. Interesting.
Can't say I do.
Yeah.
Can't say that I do.
I like this one. Happy birthday.
Thank you. All right, guys. Well, that's going to wrap up. I think we're going to...
Is this where you jump out of the cake?
Yeah, I've been waiting for that. I guess you're not. Do you have one more trivia? Are you guys there?
I'm here. I can't hear Sweet. Okay. Sweet, you went underwater.
Boy, Sweet, you dip. You're cackalacking. Can you hear her, Rock?
Well, no, she's got something over the microphone or... Yeah, we know you're here. We can hear you muttering, but we can't make out what you're saying because there's something interfering with the microphone. Yeah. See, I heard a noise, but couldn't make out what it was you said.
I can hear her start to say something, yeah. Sweet pea.
It's like watching Howie Mandel. You took the words right out of my mouth. Someone's taking the words out of your mouth, sweetie.
Yeah.
I heard I don't, and then
keep talking, sweet. I'm not hearing nothing. So anyway,
there you are.
There you are.
I lost you. Okay. So anyway, I was going to say, hey, let's wrap this up. We're going to go. I'm in pain. Okay, so I got to tell you my story of why my shoulder hurts. Like really bad. So I had two Australian shepherds wrapped around my arm, walking them down the road. Okay. Nice little walk, two Australian shepherds strapped on a leash wrapped around my arm, right? And Hatter knows how strong Australian shepherds are, right?
Yes.
Okay. Have two of them.
They're hurting, so they should be.
Okay. So, walking down the road, dum-dum, here comes a herd of deer right in front of us.
Oh.
Meek.
Was it a doe? A doe deer? A female deer?
It was a doe, a deer, a female deers. Several. Like six.
Ooh.
And my shoulder went pop.
Oh.
And my dogs went, I literally fell. And they
that
went.
That was a drag.
Yeah. And luckily, I was able to slam them back and get them to settle because they are very good dogs. And a couple of really loud commands finally listened. But ever since then, my shoulder, I can barely lift it or move it in any direction. And I'm like, okay, it's just pulled. I got to heal it. But it's been like 5 weeks now, and it's not healing.
Is it dislocated?
So. Huh?
It's dislocated?
So. I don't think it's dislocated. It's like I can't lift it up a certain way, and I can't move it side to side a certain way. So I'm afraid they might have torn something or done something. Or it's just really, really sore, and they really, really hurt it. But it's been like 5 weeks, and it hasn't healed. So now I don't want to go anywhere. I refuse to go to.
Sounds like a bit of what they call, you'd call tennis elbow or bursitis. That kind of a pain when you irritate the ligaments and around the joint from somebody dislocating it. Wow.
I don't know what they did, but I'm not going to go to a doctor and find out because nobody's touching my butt. Yeah, what did they do for that? I don't know.
I think the only thing you can do is basically quit using it, and it's hard to do.
Yeah, I think they strap it to your chest and you know, don't move.
Best you can. Use it for several days. About 3 or 4 days, see how it feels.
Yeah, I haven't done that yet. So, my pain is
extremely hard to do.
And they don't obviously give you anything for pain anymore. So it's like chew an aspirin and good luck with that. But that's
like
one of the reasons.
Pharmaceutical industry are the ones that caused the addictions, being that they allowed it to be so many and so free to get. And now they're punishing the people that need it. It wasn't our fault that you did this.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like I'm not a drug addict, but I'm in pain. Thank you very much. But no, I'll eat the aspirin and cry. Thank you.
You're in Colorado. Edible.
I'd rather not.
No, seriously, get the gummies.
Except I have a problem, and I have a very low tolerance for grasses and weeds, and I'm highly allergic to all of them.
Yeah.
So marijuana is exactly up there.
Well, so the THC in the marijuana, because my friend's wife had the same thing, and he makes her gummies, and they work wonders. They look just like gummy bears, taste like gummy bears, but you get lit.
I know.
Let me tell you.
Are.
Okay.
I don't know, because I've had a problem with marijuana itself, where I've been around it, and the marijuana itself, like the leaf, makes me break out like poison ivy. I don't know about this purified stuff, but the leaves themselves are like poison ivy on my skin.
Yeah. This is.
So I've never actually tried to ingest it.
Yeah, I think it's made from the oil, so I guess you'd have to ask to find out. But I know it would help, because my limited experience.
It might, but I'm afraid if I ingest it, I'd be like blistered on the inside. So I kind of
you're absolutely prudent to take every precaution. No, you're absolutely right.
Sure. Yeah, they make the oils for a lot of the edibles, but they also make the butter to bake with.
Can of butter.
That
tastes like
that. I might be a little more tolerable.
It tastes like ass.
I don't know. Either or. I'm just saying, yeah. So I was pulled by my Aussie, and my shoulder was like out here because we went to
Tommy John
here.
Sounds like a Tommy John syndrome.
Yeah. My nephew, he was pitching for the minor leagues when he got Tommy John's.
Oh, wow. It was
really sad.
Yeah.
It was career ending, yeah. Now he teaches, now he's a coach at a high school in Cleveland. But, yeah, he was ready to go pro. 98-mile-an-hour fastball, left hand.
I was going to ask if he could throw a knuckleball.
I'll tell you, no, he was really, really good. He was in, the Cooperstown or whatever.
He was playing
spring ball with some other club, and then he played with the Indians, and then he was playing with someone else and got a Tommy John injury, and he was out.
Literally
almost.
Certain years are so precious to athletes. When I had that discussion on the radio with the people that were saying that because of the COVID, you know, we shouldn't allow any sports to get together, and they should just let the seasons go. And I went called in and I said, you don't understand. The 2 years you're talking about is what a young athlete has been fighting for his whole life, training for his whole life. And you're going to tell him that he can't go out there and play ball? That's not a fair conversation to have, because you're talking millions of dollars and life devoting devotion into a sport.
Right.
You can't. That's not fair to do. And I told him, you can't tell me that conversation was ever made. That who in this room, take the teams who play on any given day, who in this room would give up and sign a release to be able to play ball? And take the quarantine afterwards if they had to. I guarantee you, every person in that room would have raised their hand.
Right.
So you can't. People from the outside can't say. Isn't fair for them to say that because of the health statistics, and maybe this might work, and maybe this isn't. And so you don't have to need in the numbers right. That you can't tell that these guys kind of got to throw away their careers that they've been fighting for you know, over a decade and a half, just to stay at a high athletic, a high level.
Yeah. And my nephew started playing ball when he started
to agree. Well, besides that, the millions of dollars in concessions, ticket sales,
Right.
It just is phenomenal. You can't just say you can't do that. I mean, come on, people.
Right. No. All right, guys. I'm going to say goodnight. You guys say goodnight. It was a fun show. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio.
Goodbye. Thanks, Hatter. I had fun with you tonight.
Thank you, sweet.
I loved your trivia.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for all your poetry.
Thank you.
It was fun. Thanks.
Yep.
Night, guys.
Good night.
You too. Bye.